Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show. How's everybody doing today? How are you, Kristen?
I am doing good. Today is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. So I'm trying to take today in bite-sized chunks. So we leave today to go to Kentucky because my husband is in a wedding. His best friend is getting married this weekend. So we got a haul butt right after the show to get to Kentucky to make it to the rehearsal dinner.
Okay.
And then go to the rehearsal dinner. And then Jimmy is going to hang out with Granny. He's already put his request in for Saturday. He wants to make biscuits. And he wants to make cornbread.
Oh, that's a good Southern kid right there you're raising.
Wants to make chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
I want to make all three of those too. Can I come? Yeah, absolutely. Granny knows how to cook. And Jimmy's a big fan of Granny's cooking and he's excited to hang out with his cousins. So Saturday, Bart and I are going to have a child-free night at his best friend's wedding. And so congratulations to Josh and Kelly. We're very excited to celebrate with you this weekend.
All right, girl. How you doing, Abby?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a busy day yesterday. I had a interview with an attorney yesterday because I'm starting another business.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to go off on my own and do like a planning business where I do girls trips, but like I'm the one in charge of it. So I had to talk to big, scary attorneys, and I didn't like doing it. I don't like doing this girl boss stuff. It's not fun whatsoever.
It's exhausting.
I had to figure out how to form an LLC yesterday because otherwise it was going to cost me $1,500 for them to do it.
And I was like, okay, the CEO.
I know, right? Look at you.
CEO bring in $5. A year. So that's my next venture. So that's what I'm pouring all of my energy and time into is planning trips and just disassociating and picturing myself on the Amalfi Coast.
Good for you, man. Yeah, Abby and I are stealing your idea and we're going to do it on a different level with older people that can't party as hard as you. But yeah, I think we're going to be doing the same thing and we just started our newsletter a couple of days ago.
He's the competition.
Not even. It's going to be a very different trip.
I think you guys have different demos.
Yeah, I think we'll have different demos.
You should get his mailing list and mail them and ask for their kids' info.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Be like, hey, pay for your kid to come hang out with me in the Virgin Islands.
How you doing, Cass?
Good. My eyes have decided to start the slow roll to the grave, so my vision is going. So yesterday I was shopping for glasses. I'm being dramatic. They're readers, okay? Or progressive lenses. I don't really understand. The guy talked very fast, so I just nodded and smiled and picked out a pair of lenses that took me an hour and a half inside the ophthalmologist's office to figure out. Because have you ever shopped for glasses? You've shopped for glasses, Kristen. It's like a new face that you have and you're deciding on a new face. And I was very indecisive. So yesterday I spent $200 so I could see my work laptop.
Yeah. So you can't see from up close.
Yeah, it's just I've noticed lately I've started getting headaches and I'm like hunched over, like trying to get closer to my laptop. Or if someone puts my phone in my face, this is what really triggered it for me. Chad tried to show me something on his phone and I grabbed his arm and like, pushed my head back and opened my eyes and readjusted. And I was like, this is what my mother did. Oh my God. So it's time. Glasses. Like, I'm getting glasses again.
Warby Parker has like the best selection. That's where I go. And their staff is phenomenal.
I think you can even do it online now. Like, you virtually can put glasses on online and fit them to your face.
Don't be ridiculous. I need to go in person. I need to see every pair. And I've had them before for reading, but I just lost them all.
Right. This has been pretty interesting over the course of the last couple of days. I've told you guys that my health is very important to me, especially when I'm going to be retiring, that I want to be the guy that can still do things at his age. And, you know, I want to be able to hike and swim in the Mediterranean if I want to, right? And I want to get away from the stress and the taxing job that we have, right? So I have all these gadgets on my phone that tell me how stressed out I am. And for my age and for my fitness level, my HRV scores, and you could check this on your own watch also, have always been very, very low.
What the heck is an HRV?
It's complicated, but your heartbeat doesn't beat in complete rhythm like we think it does, like a 3, 2, 1. It beats in different times, right? And it beats in different times based on your stress levels.
Oh, so it's like freestyling.
Well, when you're stressed, it definitely freestyles a little bit differently, right? So based on my lifestyle and this job, my HRV scores for my health level have been really, really low. So I've been working on it for a while, and now I'm meditating before the show, and I've been meditating lately. And since my retirement announcement, those HRV levels have gone so far up.
I bet. You're the sense of relief, man. You're not holding it a big old secret no more.
Your body does not lie, man. It's crazy. Now, they're still not exactly where I want them to be, but compared to where they were before the retirement announcement, night and day.
It's so funny how you love all these gadgets and knowing all these things, and I'm just over here, ignorance is bliss. I just, it for me, it's like how I feel, and not so much like what the numbers are saying.
Well, that's the thing that's tricky for me is I always feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel fine, right? So I need these kind of gadgets to tell me like, hey, you're not doing so great. You're a little bit on the numb side, right? So if you have an Apple Watch, there are two different metrics that you can check for your longevity that people are saying, these are the two you really need to take a look at. Your VO2 max, okay? That, it's such a long, complicated thing, but just go ahead and look at it on your watch. Your VO2 max level has to be high, and your HRV scores have to be high also. And those are the two most important markers of your longevity and your health.
Okay. I guess for me, like if you went to the doctor and they did some diagnostic test and told you this, sure. I am very skeptical that a watch can figure all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And so it makes me wonder, like, have there been deep, like, research done to prove the like
the watch is accurate?
Yeah, the accuracy of the numbers that a watch is giving you.
Such a good question. So there are some that are just more accurate than the others. When it comes to just diagnosing like your heart rate, your HRV and stuff like that, a heart strap is going to be the most accurate. The wristwatch, not all that perfect. And sometimes they'll test like 10 or 12 of them. They'll all have different answers, right? So what do you know? But it gives you a good indication. It's not so far off where it's like, oh, it's not even accurate at all. It just gives you an indication of like next time you're in your doctor's office, ask them about it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So there, that was my day yesterday.
our little health nut.
Yeah, it sounds like you're car shopping. I'll take the HRV and the VO2 max.
Yeah, right?
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Burt, I know you are notorious for some buffoonery that has cost you upwards of five figures, such as keeping your convertible top up and going through the garage. Yeah. Well, imagine doing something as simple as quite literally flushing down $13,000 down the toilet, because that is what Cardi B did when she got a butt piercing and she accidentally flushed it down her own toilet.
It was the easiest piercing ever. It cost me like $13,000 because it was real diamonds. And guess what? It went down the toilet.
Cardi?
It went down the toilet.
Wait, how quick? Like the first week?
No, it was like a month. But then I realized that it's like, hold on. And it's like, then I was looking around. I was looking at my pants and my panties and stuff. And I'm like, yep, went down the toilet.
Imagine being that rich to where you're just like, yeah, $13,000 just went down the toilet.
Where does that go?
I want to know where's the butt piercing? Like when you get your butt pierced, what portion of the butt is getting pierced?
Is it the tailbone? Is it the actual whole part?
No.
Is it a cheek?
You can't do the whole. That would be unsanitary.
There are two locations that are super common. The perineum, a.k.a. the taint, and then the buttock cleavage.
The buttock
up at the top.
Cleavage. Yeah. Okay.
Imagine being so rich, not that you flushed it down the toilet, that you spent $13,000 on diamonds to put in your butt.
Right?
That I'm assuming really nobody sees other than maybe her boyfriend or her kids if she's like just walking around.
So here's my question is if it's a piercing, how did you not know that it came out? Because if it's fresh, right? Like I remember when I got my ears pierced at Claire's, like you don't take out the piercing and you have to constantly alcohol swab it to stop it from getting infected. So if it's a fresh piercing, you're not supposed to be taking it out. And if it falls out, I feel like you're gonna feel that or it's gonna be ripped out.
Let me just say this, and I'll try to handle this delicately. As a guy, if you're in an intimate situation with a woman and you're behind and you knock that piercing out, hell, That's like, you got to high five your friend for that.
There's one person on the show who needs to get laid more, and it's me. Did not cross my mind.
I knocked her piercing right out. That's how good I am.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel has a reason to celebrate because this week was his return back to the ABC airwaves, and he's already broken one of his own records, but it doesn't come from his TV viewership. It comes from his digital viewership. So currently, or before this week, he had a record of about 14 million views on one of his monologues, and it was a monologue about like his child or something and how he had just become a parent or something really sweet and sentimental. Well, his most recent monologue of him returning back to the airwaves broke that by 5 million views. The new record he's now set has 19 million views. And just for some context, when ABC plays him on the air, like when you turn him on cable or whatever, only about 1.6 million people are watching this on TV. So it just goes to show you the power of digital and just how many people's eyes you can get on your product if you put it online.
Yeah, well, this is common sense also. It's the same thing that happened to podcasts, as Cassie was saying the other day. Once coronavirus hit and people weren't listening to radio anymore, they were going to podcasts. So in this case, with Jimmy Kimmel Show, it's still off of more than half of its affiliates. So people are like, I want the show. It's not on TV, so I got to go online. Makes sense.
Exactly. No one's waiting up until 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. just to see him say a couple of words about the situation.
Would you all like to see Cardi B's butt piercing? Because I have a photo of it.
I actually would.
What else we do? Right? Yeah. All right. So she did it in the cleavage, so she did it at the top, but that was what it looked like before it got flushed down the toilet.
Let me see.
I mean, it's kind of pretty.
It is pretty, but I'm just wondering, like, that's it. She's rich, so this question doesn't make sense, but I'm like, why pay so much money for something that just is only seen a couple of times?
And I've cracked my tailbone before. Like, you don't realize how useful the tailbone is until there's something wrong with it. So having a piercing right there, that would drive you crazy.
Dude, I would feel like, you know what would it would feel like? Like when you're in the shower and as a person with long hair and a hair gets stuck in your butt crack, I would feel like I have a hair on my butt crack all the time.
Yes. Oh my God.
All right, so here's the thing. If you believe the internet, Cardi B is worth $101.6 million, right? Not super reliable, but let's go with it. $13,000 is like 0.012% of that.
So it's like what? Me giving a penny to the piercing people and be
13
like...
13 bucks, probably.
13 bucks.
Right.
So much money.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why this morning I find it so funny that you have been doing the show for the last 6 months in the dark.
Yeah.
it's a physical representation of the dark cloud that's been looming over my psyche for 6 months.
We have this overhead lighting in studio.
It's track lighting, man.
It's track lighting. But there are two or three lights over Abby that have been out for months, and the engineers are trying. We got great engineers here. They're trying everything they can to fix them, and I don't really understand the engineering behind it, but they haven't been able to fix it, so it looks like there's some kind of eclipse going on over Abby.
It does.
When I get a good idea, it'll finally go ding above my head.
All right, Rebecca, who did you offend this week?
A man.
A man.
Of course. Because gender is a construct. Tear it apart. Which is what season 9 winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, Sasha Velour, said. But I learned the hard way that not everyone considers gender a performance like I do. And if you need a very quick homework lesson on gender expression, gender identity, I have an in-studio textbook example. So today, I am serving Femme Queen Realness. She, her. I'm wearing pink. My hair is straightened.
You're wearing pink, but the shirt says Saw the Musical.
Saw the Musical. The musical parody of Saw.
Is there anything more Rebecca than Saw the Musical?
Right.
Oh, I love this t-shirt.
You are serving she, her.
I'm serving she, her.
Okay.
But on Tuesday, when I walked in with my muscle tee, my arms out, my Coca-Cola trucker hat, I gave Cassie fanny flutters. And that's because I was serving she-they.
It's true. You looked really hot.
Thank you. Yeah,
as a Gen Xer on the upper end of Gen X, this is also confusing for me. So I might have questions.
It's all just vibes, okay. Really. Mm-hmm. Gender identity is a person's inner, deep-seated sense of being male, female, both, or neither, or another gender entirely, which may or may not align with the sex they were assigned at birth.
Okay.
So for instance, like throughout my day, you refer to different like inanimate objects as she or he. And personally in my life, the things that make my life better, I refer to as she. The things that complicate my life and make my life difficult, I refer to them as he.
Can we go through a couple of these here real quick? And I don't mean to...
I have a whole list.
Oh, you have a whole list. I didn't realize that's what we're doing. Yeah. Okay.
We're about to play the dumbest game the Bird Show has ever played. But let me do a little tiny backstory first. Because I was having a debate with a man, Fork, found in the kitchen. I'd never met him until that night. I barely remember what we were talking about, which is a lie because I remember exactly what we were talking about. I was talking about what character in the anime Naruto was most powerful.
Oh, man, I had the same conversation.
I could see you having that convo with Hayden.
With Hayden, yeah, for real. Sure. Yeah. I actually know what it is, to be honest with you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you have an idea? Who do you think?
Only because Hayden has told me about it.
Okay, yeah. It's Rock Lee. It's Rock Lee. I love Rock Lee. We were also talking about which Naruto character would make the hottest costume for Halloween. And that honestly got way more heated than anything else. So he said something so ridiculous, and I can't really even remember what he said, but I just went, girl. And he got up, and he left. Oh. And I was like, okay, won that debate.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until a couple of days later, my best friend who had invited me to the party said, Rebecca, he told me I can't talk to her because she keeps calling me girl. And okay, entertainment facade down. The second someone tells me they're uncomfortable being called something or they don't want to be referred to as something, I will stop. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. But facade back up. I call everything girl just like Kristen.
Yeah.
Everything. Plants,
yeah.
My coffee mug, animals, everything has a gender to me, and it's all just based on vibes.
Yep. It's more like an exclamation, too. It's almost like a, whoa, hey, it's girl. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So today, we are going to play What Gender Are These Inanimate Objects and Animals Based on Rebecca's Brain Rot?
Okay.
Okay. The game is very simple.
All right.
I'm going to give you an animal or an inanimate object, and you guys are going to tell me if you think, based on who you know me to be, whether they are a girl, a boy, or a third secret thing.
All right, before we start, I need to make sure the host knows what she's talking about.
Uh-huh.
So I'm holding up my cup of coffee.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
My cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca, is this a boy or a girl?
Girl.
No, it is clearly a man.
That's a girl. I agree. It is a he.
That's a woman.
It depends what kind of coffee it is. If it's like a double espresso black, for me, that's male. If it's more like one of those Starbucks crap or frappuccino things with all of the...
Why is the crappuccino a girl?
Because I don't even know what it's called, but it's got all the stuff in it and the sprinkles and all that.
I
to
do
me,
feel
that's
like
feminine.
That was an odd insult, and I don't know how, but it was. No, this glorious cup of coffee, obviously a girl.
Hello.
No. Yes. Body is not tea.
No, yes, it is. Sweet, because she makes my life better. Yes.
Actually, I'm going to be very honest. I'm gonna split from Abby. I'm not being mean. I see the cup as like they.
He, oh, they.
Like both.
Non-binary, yeah. King.
Yeah.
We live.
Non-binary coffee king.
I think I'm too old to see things in they. So I'm gonna be either on one side or the other here.
Hey, Mr. Black and White, you can see your way out. The gray area is gonna have fun today.
The cappuccino crew has got this.
I'm trying.
I have some examples just so you can kind of get a vibe for me. Okay. A red panda is a girl. A snow globe is a girl. A mason jar is a man.
Mm-hmm.
A lava lamp is a girl. And a record player needle is obviously a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go. You guys got the gist. Girl, boy, or other. Harp seal.
A what?
Harp seal?
Harp seal.
I have to Google this.
It's the prettiest seal.
Girl.
Yeah. I thought you said, at first I thought you said something about herpes.
Oh, that cute little harp seal that you find in the like the really cold Arctic weathers.
They're like the plushies uh-huh. look like them.
That is 1,000% a girl.
And they have those cute little eyes that always look up at you. They're like,
You're so furry. Oh,
that's adorable. That's a girl.
They're gorgeous and they are girls.
Yeah.
I think it's a boy.
A pocket watch.
Wait, let's keep track of how many Abby disagree with. Okay. And then maybe we got to play the game again and see what her take is on these.
I feel like Abby is in her disagreeable phase right now, no matter what it is.
Pocket watch.
Boy.
A boy.
Women can't tell time.
Boy. Time is a construct, just like gender.
Axolotl.
What? Oh, axolotl. Jimmy's obsessed with these right
what
now.
What is it?
Axolotl? It's,
you want to know a fun fact?
I don't know what these
it's
are.
It's actually pronounced axolotl.
Axolotl. Mm-hmm.
What is it? Is it like a little boo-boo
it's
or something?
It's that weird lizard thing. It's like A-X-O-X-T-L.
They're pink.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's clearly a woman.
I think it's axolotl. Got those that both thing going on.
Yeah, I think it's both.
I think it's a girl.
An axolotl. Is other. They are non-binary. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Are you, with the pink frilly stuff on the end, you think it's an other?
Look at that freak. It can only be non-binary. Just like me. Okay. A Komodo dragon.
A boy, obviously.
Girl. I say girl.
Hold on.
I feel girl.
How are you guys doing this so fast? I don't know why I feel the need to really process.
It's a gut. It's a gut instinct.
Yeah, okay. That's what you do.
Gut is male.
If you said girl, you are correct. Yeah. Komodo dragon is a girl.
Yeah.
Komodo queen.
Yes. A typewriter.
A boy.
Other.
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 A typewriter is a grown man. Roller skates.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the typewriter in the room. Yes.
Roller skates, girl.
Girl.
Those are for the boys.
Girl.
Roller skates are two men.
Two men.
There are two men side by side going through life. A quokka.
A what?
A what?
A quokka. They're like the Australian, really, I think they're Australian, cute little like marsupial.
Oh, that might be cuter than that little baby seal.
It's like a zebra.
So cute.
No, it's like,
it's like a little marsupial of some sort.
It's like someone mashed up a mouse, a raccoon, and a beaver.
That is clearly a gay man.
I feel like
yes, it is.
That's clearly a trans woman.
I want to be best friends with the quokka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? So cute. I just want to hug you, girl.
I'm out on this one.
I'm going boy.
Mm-hmm. Abby?
I told you, a gay man.
Oh, a gay man. A quokka is a girl. Mm-hmm. Of course.
I feel like any marsupial is a girl.
Yeah, I subscribe to that.
No, koalas are for sure men.
Thank you, Abby.
Because they give you chlamydia when they see on you.
That tracks.
Sea cucumber.
Sea cucumber.
I'm learning so
male.
Much.
Yeah, you know what? So definitely male.
Yeah, those are so ugly and rugged and just nasty.
That's a boy.
A sea cucumber is a boy.
Yeah.
Beanbag chair.
They.
Yeah,
that is a they.
Other.
I'm going to go with boy.
I'm with Kristen on this. They.
Beanbag chair is a boy.
A boy.
I'm right for once.
Manatee.
Oh, those are girls.
Oh, the humanity.
I don't know.
No, actually, I feel like they're kind of giving non-binary energy.
I mean, for me, manatee, if you're going just with the gut, it's boy.
The word man is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going boy, but not man.
Yeah.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Abby's instincts were correct because manatees are gender queer.
They have energy.
Yes. Okay, I have like 8 million of these, so stop me at any time.
Okay. The next really funny one, we're out.
Yeah.
Okay. A cuckoo clock.
A cuckoo clock.
Oh, they're annoying. That's a man.
Man. Old man.
Yeah, man.
That's a man.
Yeah.
Please be silent. Okay. Chessboard.
Oh, those are complicated. That's a woman.
Oh, no, that's a man.
A man. Chessboard.
Chessboards, that's a woman.
A woman, yeah.
A chessboard?
Complicated. If it's checkers again, that's dude.
Yep.
And chess woman.
And the queen is more powerful than the king in chess.
Mm-hmm. She's a woman!
Yeah!
Capybara.
Oh, those are cute too.
Oh, because it looks like Gwyn Powell or Glenn Powell.
Man. I don't know why. It gives off boy energy.
That's a young man.
Young man.
That's a young man.
That's a young man.
Clearly.
Electric guitar.
Man.
Dude.
Girl.
Boy.
An electric guitar is a girl.
I think Jimi Hendrix.
But acoustic is a man.
Agreed.
Okay.
I can see that.
We're going to go finally.
All right.
Pitbull. A pit bull dog.
Oh, that's a girl. That's a woman.
That's a girl.
That's a woman.
But
a
man. I was going to say man also. Yeah. What is it?
Every pit bull is non-binary.
Yeah. All right. It's funny how you can assign those. And you know what I do too is I assign colors to things right off the bat.
Oh.
Especially when it comes to states. Like if I say Wyoming to you guys, what is the color of Wyoming?
Dark green, obviously.
Yeah, like a forest green.
Yeah.
Okay, I have brown on that one. Okay,
but you know the really big debate? This is huge on TikTok, is the colors for different subjects. Like, what is English? What is science? If you have a folder for each, what color is each subject? And people cannot agree.
All right, you have an assignment tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We'll do the color game tomorrow.
It's Friday.
Okay.
Is it not Friday?
It is. We're not going to be here tomorrow.
It's Friday.
Oh, that's right. Monday. Clearly, I'm not even here now.
The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Starting to realize that 24 hours in some cases is a very long time. And as I'm looking at life after radio here eventually, I'm starting to think like, what am I going to do with my days every single day, right? Anything I want for sure. But I was stressing myself out last night going, you know what? I'm going to have to fill my day somehow, some way with something. So I decided I'm going to be a gamer.
What? No, you're not.
I'm not going to be a gamer, but... But I did buy one of those Meta Quests a long time ago that I thought I'd be so into because I really do. I don't like video games, but VR is different, man. Like when you're right in the game, or you can actually hike now on VR, you can be in different environments. And it's so awesome because you really feel like you're there, right? So I'm like, you know what? I haven't put this thing over my noggin in a long time. So maybe I'll find a game that I really love and I'll become a gamer on my headset, right?
You're so over reality that you're like, you know what? I'm retiring and I'm checking out of I'm retiring from reality.
Can you blame me?
No.
So I'm like, you know what? I downloaded a couple of games on it before, that one where you think that you're on a plank, but you're really not, and you jump off, which is really freaky. Have you ever tried it?
No. That doesn't sound fun to me.
I'm going to bring it in tomorrow. You'll have a blast
you
with it.
You keep saying tomorrow. It's Friday.
Oh, yeah. Abby's like, let me have a day off.
I'm not coming in tomorrow.
I feel like this week has just gone by so fast because the announcement and everything else is, I just feel like it's Wednesday.
I thought Wednesday was Friday. So I'm like, today could be Wednesday.
All right, so Monday, I'll have to remind myself to bring it in. So I fired up yesterday and I decided I'm going to fight Creed last night because there's this boxing game, Creed. So I put it on and I'm about four rounds into it when I realize that I'm doing it in my living room in front of a huge window that I have there. And it's 6:30 at night, which is prime dog walking night time in my neighborhood. So everybody is watching me with this headset on last night. I'm assuming you can't tell, but I got to be honest with you. I am so freaking sore this morning.
So you were boxing Michael B. Jordan last night?
I was indeed.
I mean, I love video games. I think that's so cool.
Like VR to me is so different than having a controller in your hands and then watching a monitor. VR puts you right in the middle of things. It's so cool.
If you really want to mess up your heart rate, get a horror game on VR.
A what?
Horror game.
Oh, horror.
Horror.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Horror.
The one that begins with an H, not a W.
Got it.
He got excited real quick.
He did.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? There's an option for that?
All right, Cassie, so here you are, 40 years old, and you're starting to reevaluate everything.
Yeah, I'm looking back at my life, and
it's today, right? Birthday's today?
No, it's Sunday.
Sunday. I got my days all messed up.
Yeah, you think it's like Wednesday. Abby thinks it's like whatever day. I think it's last year. Who knows? So I'm looking back at my life, and it's interesting. Like when you turn 21, people are like, how do you feel? You feel the same. When you turn 30, you feel the same. But as I've gotten closer to 40, I don't feel the same anymore. I feel like a more confident version of myself. I feel settled into myself. And it's, you know, Kristen, I've heard you talk about this too. Like you just, there's a confidence that comes along with knowing who you are and knowing what you'll put up with and stand for and what you won't. And so I wanted to share four pieces of advice, one for each decade, for anybody can use this. It doesn't matter if you are 13, if you're 30, or if you're 60. Like, this is advice, I think, that is lifelong. But these are lessons that I've picked up over the years that I've kind of picked up as core tenets of who I am. And I think that it's really valuable things to keep in mind as you move through life. Hmm. So the first one is take the risk. We're all going to be faced from time to time with things like, this job was a risk for me. And I remember sitting there being like, I don't know. You know, I had a cushy job with a very like nice, I worked at Emory University. The benefits were crazy. Like, it was like an 11% 401k match, like crazy stuff. And I remember talking to my then boyfriend, Chad, and I'm like, this is so unknown. Should I do this? Because I have a trajectory here at this university. I know where it's going and I know I'm going to be successful. This is abandoning that path. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the risk and look at this 15 years. And it was one of the best decisions I've made. So I like to tell people, obviously, you're not always going to be able to take it, the leap. But if you have an opportunity to take the leap, take it.
I remember that first week that you were here, you were so quiet and meek. And I thought to myself, well, I mean, she'll be great off the air, but I'm never going to get anything out of her on the air. She'll never have a mic in front of her ever again.
And now you're like, shut up. My second is, you know nothing, Jon Snow. I used to wield my intelligence like a weapon. I was like, I know everything. No, I knew nothing. And I think that's a good mentality to have. And that's why now I go through life assuming I don't know anything. And even when someone asks me and I know the answer, in my head, I'm like, but am I still right? And it's not because I'm doubting myself. It's just because I know there is so much that I don't know. Mm. And I think what happens is when you realize that you are constantly in a state of learning, and I'm not talking like calculus, I'm talking about just things about the world that interest you, any and everything. And the more you learn about the world, religion, science, history, random tidbits, this all contributes to how you view the world around you and your perspective, and it informs your perspectives. So as your knowledge base grows, I actually think your empathy grows, and I do believe it makes you a better human.
This one is so important nowadays, you know, because we keep talking about the algorithm and how our lives, we are living in a bubble now because everything that we're seeing online just agrees with us. So you really have to go out, you have to pop the bubble purposely to go see how the other half of the world is living. I think this one's the most important.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like things that you don't even realize exist because of your own experiences. And it doesn't make you dumb and it doesn't make you ignorant. It's just, you have to be aware when you look at a situation, there's probably something that you don't even know exists that is making someone feel some way about that situation. If you approach things from a point of curiosity, I think that you are going to become a more empathetic person and you're going to enjoy life better. Live life with no regrets. And I say this because this is one I've learned from you, Bert. And it was when you were talking about bringing your dad to live with you in his final year. And you kept saying you wanted to be able to look in the mirror and look back at that situation and say, I did everything that I could and I handled myself the best way possible. And I have used that when I have tough situations. And it is really a litmus test for how I handle things, because I want to be able to look back at a situation and say, I did the best I could. And that's all you can ask of yourself. But if you hold yourself to that standard every single time, then you're not going to have regrets when you look back. And even if they start to creep in, you can say, no, I did everything I could. Now, the caveat to this is don't do it at the expense of yourself. Mm-hmm. So if it's going to be detrimental to you, then it's no good.
Yeah, there's a question I kept asking myself during that time with my dad, and that is, how would the person that I want to be handle this situation? Because the person I was didn't want anything to do with it, right? My dad was kind of a D-bag. No, my dad was a D-bag. He even admitted he was a D-bag. So how did I want to handle it was very differently than the person that I wanted to be. And now looking back at it, it was a springboard for everything in my life because it gave me that guiding light.
And it's growth. I mean, that really is what it is. You're pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone and you're growing. And then the fourth one is stop being so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. Literally, and that extends to other people as well. You don't know what other people are going through and everyone is messed up. Everyone. And it's everyone's first time living life. It's your first time living life. it's your parents' first time living life. And I think sometimes we forget that. Mm-hmm. We expect our parents to have all the answers. This is their first time being 70 or 60 or 50 or whatever. This is the a-hole who cut you off on in traffic. This is their first time living life. And I think if you stop being hard on yourself and others and just sort of give everyone a little bit of grace, but especially yourself, it'll make it easier.
Amen.
And I'm going to wrap it with one for the next 10 years, a fifth piece of advice, and it's embrace the journey. Life is not going to go the way you expect. Hello? Yeah. My job of 15 years is ending.
You're living in an RV.
Yeah, I'm living in an RV. But you know what? I think a big piece of me handling that has been embracing the journey. And if you really like lean into it and lean in and embrace those adventures, I think life is going to be at least more enjoyable, if not that easy.
That's great stuff, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.